Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And with me, of course, I'm so grateful to have co-host Minister Tabika Garnes, and y'all know how I feel about her. So today, guess what? I'm not going to say all of those things today. Right. Anyway, so to my beautiful and wonderful, lovely, loyal, faithful, dependable, trustworthy, confidant, armor bearer, minister of the gospel, all of those wonderful things, an awesome intercessor and prayer warrior, praise be unto God, very prophetic, to God be the glory. Good morning to Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, my love.
Good morning. Good morning, beautiful, beloved apostle. How are you this morning? Thank you so much again for those wonderful, that wonderful introduction where my cheeks, I'm smiling from ear to ear, so my cheeks get stuck there and they start to hurt because I'm smiling so hard.
God be the glory. God be the glory. We got to smile. We've got to smile, and it's good. Yeah. If the smile is not somebody laughing at us, but somebody smiling with us, it's all good stuff with us, So that's a good thing. So to God be the glory, precious. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So good morning, to all of you regulars. Praise be unto God. Those near and far, good morning to Tamika. Yes, Tamika Shelton, good morning to you, beloved. I pray all is well in your part of the world, and I know you're here in Maryland, but I am praying, that things are going well for you and yours. And to Joyce and Lester Richardson, to Joyce in New York, to Brother Lane, praise be unto God. God bless you. The Deacon Banks, God bless you. Prophetess Kim, God bless you. Praise be unto God. Prophetess Dorn. To Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, to Anita here in Baltimore, one of our church members, and to all the rest of you. Just want to always take some time and say good morning and let you know that we truly do appreciate you. We appreciate you more than you know. We really do. So thank you so much for waking up this Saturday morning, and it's a Sabbath today. Thank you for waking up and saying, we're going to go listen to Heart to Heart this morning. And I appreciate you with all my heart, with all my heart. Remember, as we go along, we will have prayer. We're going to get into the topic we'll be discussing today. But as we're going along, if there's a comment that you would like to make, please press 1 on your keypad. Press 1 on the keypad. That will let me know that you have something to say. And by all means, we want to know what is on your heart. You helped to make the show. And it is because of you that we are here. It's because of you that we are here. So with all of that being said and done, I'm going to turn this over into the hands of Minister Garnes. And beloved, if you would go ahead and any accolades or greetings you'd like to make, and just take us right into prayer, please.
Amen. Amen. Well, yes, good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you so much again for joining us on another beautiful Saturday. whether wherever you may be, in the car, in your kitchen, in the bed, wherever you are, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We are very grateful. We thank God that, as I always say, this is his platform, and he chose us to do this. So, and we say thank you to you all because you call in every Saturday, and I'm sure you're sharing. I'm sure there's some things that you heard on this show that you shared with other people that bless them. So we give God all the glory for that. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, oh, Father God. We just thank you for loving us the way that you love us, that unconditional love that you give us, Father God. We just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for being the best father that anyone could ever ask for. Thank you, Father God, for listening to our cries and listening to our complaints and listening to, Father God, the things that we don't understand and listening to just pouring our hearts out to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Father God, for just that you just don't listen, Father God. You're working things out on our behalf. So, Father God, we just want to give you praise, Lord God, and we call on your name. Hallelujah, because there is power in your name. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 there is power in your name. Hallelujah. We just give you praise, and we thank you, and I thank you, and Apostle thanks you for all the people that are on right now, everyone that is listening, their household, anybody connected to them, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we pray that you would keep them safe, Father God. Block the enemy's plan in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. Father, we just thank you for being a mighty and strong Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God, for the power, the authority, and the dominion that you have given us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that each and every one of us are equipped with something that you've given us to do, something that you blessed us with in the name of Jesus. The gifts, Lord God, the talent that you placed within us, Father God. We want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for choosing us to be the bearers of these gifts, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. And if there's anybody on here that's still struggling with trying to figure out who they are in you, Father God, I just ask, Lord God, that through this week, starting today, I know the week starts with Sunday, but starting today, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I'm just asking that you would just touch their hearts even now, Father God, that you would begin to unfold things. You would begin to bring things to their attention, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Where there was hopelessness, Father God, that you are replacing it with hope in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, where there was confusion in their identity, on who they are, Father God, I thank you that you are replacing it, Father God, with your identity and the beauty of who you are, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. And, Lord, we pray for our kids. We pray for our young people, Lord God, the ones that are coming up behind us in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, Lord God, we're asking, Lord, that you just, Lord, touch their hearts in a way that they could only say it was you in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, God, I just pray that the young people would just begin to cry out to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that they will begin to pray for one another instead of fighting with one another, Lord God. Lord God, that they will begin to love on one another instead of hating one another in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. Lord, we just lift them up before you, God. You know their age range, Lord God, that are dying every day in the name of Jesus, God. Some of them weren't even old enough to have kids yet, Lord God. It's just a bunch of hate, Lord God, and murder that is going around in the world today, oh God. And Lord, I pray a ceasefire in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray that it cease and desist in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray that the power of God will fall
down upon your young people like never before in the name of Jesus. God, that you would touch their hearts, God, where there's emptiness in their hearts because they didn't get the love from their parents, Lord God. They didn't get the love that they needed to grow up, to be who you wanted them to be, Lord God, but yet the enemy stepped in and took over. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that all those walls that they put up will fall. Lord God, the agreements that they made with the enemy, Father God, will fall in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. And Lord, we just give you praise on this morning, Father God, because there is a lost generation in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that have no regard for human life. But God, we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, which is Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, just have your way, because we know that you are able. We know that you are able to get the attention of these young people in the name of Jesus. God, however you do it, God, I pray that you even equip us, Father, in the name of Jesus, us that are on this show, us that we are attached to you, Father God, us that know you, Lord, that you would even help us, that you would give us a plan, Lord God, to help these young people begin to love you, love themselves, and love others. So, Father, we love you, we bless you, we honor you, and we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. You know, as you were praying, sweetheart, I had a flashback of a young man that I used to minister to. Excuse me. That I used to minister to, and the way that I get up every day and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This young man would get up and every day and say, this is a good day to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing just used to go through me. And it took a while to convince him that he had something to live for. He has spent most of his time in, you know, juvenile detention homes and then from there to jail. And I think at the time that I was dealing with him, I think he was like 27, 28 years old, somewhere around in there. And he was surprised that he had lived that long. And each day his confession is, this is a good day to die. You know, and he is still living today, praise God. He is married.
Amen.
He has children.
Amen.
And ministering to him, he ended up going to our church over in East Baltimore, and he accepted the Lord as his Savior. And, you know, and I just thank God. I thank God. That was truly, truly, you know, something that was shocking to hear somebody say. You know, I feel like, you know, even the drug addicts and the prostitutes and so forth, you know, are out in the streets. Sometimes that is their train of thought. You know, why did I wake up this morning? Look, and you don't have to be a drug addict or a prostitute. How many of us, you know, have gone through sicknesses and divorces and so forth, and we don't want to commit suicide. We just don't want to wake up. Okay, just don't want to wake up. But that was the first time I heard someone to verbalize that this is a good day to die. And that's how he left home every day, thinking that, you know, today may be my last day. And that was the way he lived. So I am glad to say, you know, that, again, he had given his life to the Lord. And I pray all is well. I pray all is well for him and his family. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, beloved. Okay, so listen. We're going to get back into the Word and connecting again with having confidence in God. And last week we dealt with trusting God in the midst of fear. Having confidence, you know, in God in the midst of fear. And one of the places that Abraham showed fear, we're going to be reading the scripture, just hold on a minute. One of the places that Abraham showed fear. First, we saw where he walked in faith when God told him to get up, take your family, leave this land, and go on. He got up and did it. He took Lot with him, and he got up and he did what he was told to do. But then we see later how when he gave his wife, Sarah, to Pharaoh, the Egyptian Pharaoh, he gave her to him because he said if they know that she's married to him, they will kill him and take his wife. So if she confessed that she, if he tells them that she is his sister, then they will, you know, then Pharaoh will take her, marry her, and let Abram live. He will pay Abraham for her and so forth and so on. So we come to an area, you know, of fear making us do things that we would not normally do. Fear makes you do things, you know, in the midst of relationships, in the midst of, and relationships could be husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend. It could be job-wise. It could be friend-wise, whatever the case may be. It can be siblings, parents, whatever your case may be. You know, the spirit of fear can cause us to make some pretty awful decisions, some awful decisions. So we're aiming towards how do we get confidence and walk in the confidence of God and trusting him in all areas of our life. So when we come to today's lesson, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 11, and then verses 14 through 18. And I'll read from 5 to 8, and then Minister Garnes, if you would read 9 through 11, and then I'll do 14 on to the end, okay? Okay, all righty. All right, so Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through, what did I say, 8. I'll do 5 through 8. So now Lot, who was traveling with Abraham, also had flocks, herds, and tents. But the land was unable to support them as long as they stayed together. But they had so many possessions that they could not stay together. And there was quarreling between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. So Abram said to Lot, please, let's not have quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, since we are relatives.
I'm starting at verse 9. Is it the whole land before you? Separate from me. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. Lot looked out and saw that the entire plain of the Jordan, as far as Zoar, was well watered everywhere, like the Lord's garden and the land of Egypt. So Lot chose the entire plain of the Jordan for himself. Then Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated from each other.
After Lot had separated from him, the Lord said to Abraham, look from the place where you are. Look north and south, east and west, for I will give you and your offspring forever all the land that you see. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust of the earth, then your offsprings could be counted. Get up and walk around the land through its length and width, for I will give it to you. So Abram moved his tent to live near the oaks of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. And I do thank the Lord for the reading of his word. So here you've got Abraham, Lot. There were Canaanites and other people living in the land. It was too much for all that they had, you know, to live on the one land. And remember, all of the land, that when God spoke to Abraham, he promised him, you know, promises that would go down to us, Abraham's seed, his offspring. He promised him land as far as he could see, you know, where he went. And yet he gave Lot the opportunity to pick what portion of land he wanted to go to. He gave him the chance, and Lot thought he was picking the very best. He was not trying to be fair to his uncle. He thought, well, look, I got first choice. This is what I'm going to choose, and that's what he did. So in this, we see that they were both had wealth, but yet the traveling between them became difficult. The tension between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen was, they called it a turf war, you know, using today's terminology. It was a turf war. But in this, there had to be, again, decisions that had to be made. And so Abraham had a choice. He could ignore the conflict or he could confront it. Now, so what was he going to do? And as we look, we saw he chose to confront the conflict. He chose to tell his nephew, look, we can't do this, so let us not fight. He humbled himself before his nephew. And that's one of the same things that we have to do in our own life. We either confront the conflict or we ignore it. And if you ignore the conflict and keep moving on, keep moving forward, the tension and the conflict becomes unbearable. And this is especially true in the church with relationships among believers. And thanks to God, that is something that we really, really need to look at as saints. We are supposed to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And that's what the Word tells us to do, that we are to make every effort to keep the unity. If there is discord between you and any one of the brothers or sisters in your congregation or even in the body of Christ, one of you has got to step up and make amends, walk in a spirit of peace, see what we could do to make this work. We cannot control the attitudes and the actions of other individuals, but we can control our own attitudes and actions. And we must elevate our role by asking, am I doing my part to maintain peace and resolve the conflict? And I'm telling you, that is something, you know, that you will be in places, you'll be you'll be in relationships and so forth, where you're going to have to you're going to have to make a compromise in order to get things handled so that there is peace. Abraham here, he confronted the issue. And when that is done correctly, and please hear me when I say this, so many people are afraid of conflict. So many people. I don't want to talk about it. You know, every time the topic is brought up, you know, it causes confusion. It causes us to be upset with one another, blase, blase. But Abraham confronted the conflict. Abraham is our mentor in this point here. And when done correctly, confrontation can show the other person how much we care. It demonstrates how the individual matters to us, can prevent so much unnecessary conflict. The alternative approach of ignoring the issue does not solve anything. In fact, by ignoring a tiny issue, we allow it to fester and grow. Over time, you will discover a gigantic wall in a relationship that should have never built up in that way in the first place. Thanks to God, I know that this is a way that so many people think. Ignore it and it will go away. I am here to testify, to tell you as a woman, a mother, a pastor, as a counselor, a teacher, I'm here to tell you, you cannot ignore issues that are in your relationships, you cannot ignore them, because if you do, you will have exactly what our article is saying. There will be a wall that will build up, and then in the end, one day, you know, these feelings that you had for each other, whether it's, you know, husband, wife, whether it's sister, brother, you know, all those different avenues of relationships that I told you, best friends, you know, any of that, all of a sudden, you know, and it's not, you think it's all of a sudden, they will say something, you will blow your gasket, you just lose it completely, and they're looking at you like, what in the world did I do? Little do they know that for 10 years, you've been holding something back, and it's been chopping away at you every day for those 10 years. It doesn't have to even be that long, something that's in a matter of months or something. You know, I love peace. God knows I love peace. I always felt, and according to what we're dealing with today, I always felt that when there is something that is between two people that is disturbing, the best thing to do is to discuss it, get it out in the air, and let it be. To me, that takes away the power of the enemy. See, it stops him from being able to walk in and say, you know that she did that on purpose, and you know that she knew that you couldn't stand such and such a thing or whatever the case may be, and she went ahead and she did it anyway. And so you're sitting there with all of that venom festering over it when it may not be the way that the enemy has talked to us and told us that it was. It may not be that. So then you let it go, and in one day over something that is not important, there's an argument, a fight, whatever the case may be, and you end up, where did this come from? Minister Tabika, what are your thoughts on this?
Yes, ma'am. I definitely agree with you when you say when we don't confront it, because what happens, like you said, we bury it, or we just act like it doesn't happen, and then then you come to basically a point where the person could have sneezed and it just irritated your soul so bad that you just unleashed everything that had been bothering you about this person, and then they're looking like, what in the world is wrong with you? Like, what have I done to you? You know, like, what have I done to you? I sneezed, and you're upset because I sneezed, because that in that person's mind, that's what they're thinking. Like, something is really wrong with you because all I did was sneeze. You know, that was natural. I did nothing to you, and so it leaves you sitting there looking foolish because this is the stuff that you've been wanted to say, but you didn't say it. And so now that the very presence of that person just bothers your spirit so bad, it's like now you have to explain yourself. And then you probably have to explain yourself in the midst of a whole bunch of people, because everybody is looking like, what's wrong with her? You know, like they're confused. They're wanting to know why you reacted in such a way that you reacted. So if we deal with stuff when it happens, it's easier to get through whatever it is that's bothering you. And so if you deal with the issue now, some things, you know, they said pick your battles. People say pick your battles. You heard that saying before.
Yes,
pick your battles, because every little thing is you don't have to confront every little thing that somebody does that you particularly don't like. But if this person is doing something towards you, like they're picking on your kids, they're telling bold-faced lies on you to the point where it comes to a point where you may be a business owner and you may be in about to lose very important contracts, those type of things you want to confront. Other little things that really don't matter is because somebody said they don't like your dress or your shoes. You know, those little things, you know, really, and let that roll off your back.
But bigger things where you're somebody, where your character is being questioned, your integrity is being questioned over a lie that somebody has told about you, you have to confront these things, but you confront it in a way where God's love still shines in the midst of that confrontation, okay? Because if it doesn't, the person will turn you off. They don't hear what you're saying. It becomes a yelling and screaming match, so nothing gets accomplished. And you both walk away, and now you hate each other. And that's not that's not what God wants. Amen, Apostle.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, Abram is still in his example. He lowered the temperature of the tension by walking into the conversation with Lot without the goal of winning the conversation. You know, when I read that, I said, oh, my gosh, you know, with my boy on TV, a whole lot of people don't like him. I'm Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil. He said, do you want to win or do you want to be right? Do you want to win or do you want to be right? See, sometimes our being right does not make us win. And sometimes being right doesn't make us win. But making things right, getting things in order so that they can be right, we have to be willing to put the other person first. We have to be willing. And I tried thinking about that, you know, the thing of putting the other person first. And so listen when I say this now, that this can be tricky, but it's something that we must do. And putting the other person first, somebody who's not getting discernment from Holy Spirit may say, well, okay, I will put my mate first. I will do what I can to keep peace between me and my mate, and I will not say anything about what my mate is doing that's disturbing me. Now, we just said you gotta face conflict, because if the thing that's disturbing you is causing distress in the relationship, is something that has to be confronted. However, in putting your mate first, you're trying to understand where your mate is coming from, why they are feeling the way that they're feeling. Humble yourself in doing so. Consider what's into them and so forth. You know, but you still get the chance to talk about it, stress your opinion, let them stressing theirs, and you're doing this in humility, not coming full of accusations, you know, I can't stand you because of, and so forth and so on. And again, remember, not sitting back and not saying anything so that the stuff is festering. That stuff will eat you up. It will eat you up. Let me tell you from a personal experience. I had a minor stroke almost 30 years ago. I had a minor stroke. And the stroke was caused because of something that had happened, and I was keeping that information to myself, keeping a lot of bitterness and anger and so forth to myself, and that bitterness began to eat away at my body. And saints of God, if you believe that lack of forgiveness, you don't believe lack of forgiveness, bitterness, hatred, spirit of rejection and abandonment, if you don't believe that stuff will eat you up and kill you, let me tell you, beloved, you have another thing coming, as my mama would say. That stuff will send you to your grave. It will cause you to have cancer. It will cause you to have high blood pressure and sugar diabetes. It will cause you to be sick because you have harbored all of these ill feelings and have not gotten them out, have not talked about it, have not extended forgiveness. And remember now, in a lot of these situations, you may not be able to talk to the person because that person may have passed and gone on, but you haven't forgiven the person for what they've done. So therefore, again, you're still harboring it. and it can cause contention in your body. But if Abraham, like I said, as he demonstrated, he operated in humility. He put the needs of others before his own. That's what he did with Lot. He said, look, Lot, go ahead, choose the land. Choose which part of this land you want. Remember, the conflict was over the fact that they had so much that they couldn't share the land there together. So we got to move on. We've got to separate here. And Abraham being the uncle, the oldest, the wiser, the one that God gave the promise to, he could have said, well, this is the territory I'm claiming. But no, he let Lot choose the area. The word of God says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourself. Let me repeat that again, please. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as important as yourself. Everyone should not look at his own interests, but rather to the interests of others. And then Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 says, but let us be honest. Putting the needs of others before our own doesn't always sit so well, especially in the scripture was, do nothing, out of a selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourself. And that is in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Now, as we're being honest about this, putting the needs of others before our own doesn't always sit well, especially in a conflict situation. And this is easier said than done. It's easier said than done. People are so consumed about what they want. It's my right to do this. I've been doing this for so long. It's my right, you know. Mother left the land to me. It's my right. I don't have to share any of this with any of you. That's my right. But according to the word of God, we should be unselfish. We should put others before ourselves. We should operate in the spirit of humility. And that humble attitude, my love, does not dismiss any wrong that may have been done to you, but remember the goal. The goal in any conflict cannot be about who is right. It must be about making things right. Amen. And in order to make things right, we must be willing to put, what do you say to these things, beloved?
Yes, I'm willing to put the other person first. How many of us are willing to do that? That willing is the key word, willing to do that. Because, you know, like you said, you could look at it like, well, mommy and daddy left, I'm the oldest. Mommy and daddy left it to me, so I'm going to be in charge of who gets what. Mm-hmm. I'm going to divide everything up according to, you know, how I see how it should go. And because I'm the oldest, I get the majority of it because I'm the oldest. And, you know, some people feel that way because they are the oldest, that they should be in charge of everything. Not that they have the skill to really be in charge of stuff, but because they're the oldest, they're going by age, they're going by seniority. I was here first. That gives me the right, you know, to be in charge of it. And this is how so many things fall apart today, because people think that they've been somewhere for a long time, been in a job for a long time, been in a ministry for a long time, been friends with somebody for a long time, that it gives them the right to be in charge, or the right to always have something to say, or feel like they know everything and because they've been there the longest. And that's not always the case. Sometimes you have to look at your skill. You have to look at your will. You have to look at the ability. You even have to look at if God told you, or if God has shown you anything about this situation, where are you really supposed to be in charge? And so when we consider other people first, so that's where humility steps in. Okay, all right,
I know I've been here the longest. I know I'm the oldest. But I, but Michael over here has the skill and the will to do this. I've seen him work. I've seen the levels of how he helps people out. I've seen the knowledge that he has when he takes on tasks. I've seen that. Yeah, okay, he's only been here for 2 years, but he has shown me the fact that he can do this. So why not let Michael be in charge? You know, because the person that has been there for the long time, for the longevity of, you know, the job or whatever, they may have played around the whole time. They may have felt entitled to whatever because they were somehow connected to you in a way that gave them this entitlement to feel like, you know, I'm entitled because I know this person. That's my mom. That's my girlfriend, that's my wife, you know, all these things that we try to pull into instead of considering other people first. And so I'm sure that Abraham didn't give a second thought into letting Lot have the piece of land, the piece of property that he wanted. And God blessed Abraham for that. God didn't overlook the fact that Abraham did what he did. He didn't overlook that. In fact, I'm sure God rewarded Abraham even more because of what he did. Yes.
He did.
And the fact that he didn't want a piece of land to cause an argument between him and Lot. A piece of land is not that serious. You know, it's not serious enough to fall out of sorts with your family. And so Abraham being the wise one, you know, he offered Lot the first choice, and that shows the humility that Abraham had in situations. Yes,
yes.
Because he did not know a Lot would choose land outside the promised land. So you know, so it's time. He just did not want that argument over some land because they're family, and I feel like this is how family falls apart in many different situations because we allow things to get our focus and our attention, and we focus in. And you know, if things like this really happen when a parent passes away and then the insurance policy comes into play and the stuff that the parents had, and so the siblings are quarreling, having arguments over who is supposed to be in charge of the insurance policy, how much, you know, the oldest child is supposed to get, who's supposed to have the possessions that the parents left, you know, the house, the cars, whatever, what was left in a bank account, whatever the situation is, this is where many families fall apart over the death of a loved one. And when it comes to land, possessions, money. And so it takes someone in the family like Abraham to say, look, okay, I don't want us to fall apart over this. So let's just come to a meeting place where all of us are on one accord and in unity about whatever. Okay, mom and dad left me $100,000. Okay, let's split that amongst us. You know, if falling apart because they gave me $100,000 and didn't give you guys that, if us falling apart over this, if that's why we're going to fall apart, let me just change the narrative. Okay, I'll just split it with you guys. If that's going to make peace in the family and we can all get along, let me just do that. And that's the humility because technically you don't have to. You know, but if you see it's causing great turmoil in your relationship with your family, it's not going to hurt. You're not missing out on anything, but you will be missing out, you know, if your family falls apart.
Absolutely. Amen. 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 Well, beloved, this is still Apostle Etta Banks with the co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. We're here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. If anyone would like to make a comment, yay or nay, add to the story, you may do so by pressing 1 on your keypad, and we will invite you into the conversation. Remember, this is from your heart to ours, praise be unto God, and our heart to God, and him back to us. We have a caller Amen. That would like to speak. Your last 4 digits, sir, are 8882. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Queen. And greetings in the name of the Father and Spirit to all the listeners out there in Radio Land, Blog Talk Land, and the social media platforms. I just wanted to give y'all a bit of encouragement. I know it's hard getting up early in the morning, but somebody's got to do it.
Amen. Amen. We appreciate the encouragement. Thank you so very much.
I love the interview. You got a lot of good meat, and I'm just thankful that my line was open. And yeah, there is people out there listening. You'd be surprised.
Right. Amen. We'll continue to listen, and we hope this won't be your last time joining us. So thank you so very much. Amen.
No, ma'am, I won't. Thank you, sister. Be blessed. And blessings.
You
Amen.
Too.
And
thank you.
You. Too, sir. Okay, so now, Abraham, in all of this, Abraham ended up, he had to maintain his trust in God. And here we come back with that confidence. He had to remain confident in God and God's provision. God, remember, promised him all of the land. He let his nephew have some of that land. We have to, in our situations, our relationships, whatever the case may be, we our trust in God. And God reaffirmed his promise to Abraham. He told Abram to open up his eyes and look around him and all the land that he could see, that this was his. God was giving it to him. God is unchanging, and this is his promise to him. It's immutable. And, beloved, when God makes us a promise, it's our promise to keep. God is not changing his mind on that promise. And too many times, when we talked about not being able to walk in humility, not being able to put somebody else first and so forth, it's because we're not trusting God. We're not trusting God. Y'all remember when I told you I made that crazy statement to God, don't talk to me about any marriage unless you, your son, and the Holy Spirit, unless the three of you are going to come before me in person, I don't want to hear about marriage, okay? I'd had it, had been hurt in the whole 9 yards. Don't want to hear it, you know? And I showed you how for 30 years I could have missed out on something great if I had gotten remarried and so forth. Or for 30 years, it's taken that long for God to work some stuff out in me and whoever it is that I'm supposed to marry, making us fit for one another. Again, this is God doing what he wants to do. But I told y'all I had to repent, you know, because that's not trusting God. When I'm putting that type of, and check it out, I'm putting that type of demand on God, and I can't demand God to do anything, you know, other than remind him of his words, okay? I remind him of his words, but I can't demand him, like, you do this my way or no way. Not happening. So anyway, when we set aside our own human viewpoint to see things from God's perspective, then that's when we can see into play. It is very difficult. Saints of God, listen to me. It is very, very difficult to see things God's way if God's way does not line up with your flesh. And I know that some people are, whoa, sis, what are you talking about? I'm telling you. When it is our flesh that makes us want what we want, when we want it, how we want it, as often as we want it, you know, the whole, that's our flesh wanting this stuff, okay? That's our flesh. And when we have to look at things from God's perspective, and it comes against this flesh, it comes against, you know, everything that we feel, everything that we believe, everything that we thought we had a right to, it is not easy to make that change. I don't care how spiritual you may be. It is not easy to make the change. yet it is a necessary change. Understand that we cannot show confidence in God in the midst of conflict without filtering everything through God. It has to be filtered through him in order for us to get the promised result, even the desired result. I know there are times when people have been asked to give up something the way Abraham was asked to give up his son Isaac. You got the child that God told you that you and Sarah would have. You got that child, and now God's going to tell you to give this child up, to sacrifice him. You've got to have had a lot of trust and faith in God, because no man, no woman wants to give their child up after they've longed for a child in all of these years. And however, looking at this, when Abraham said, Father, basically, not my will, your will be done. When he did what the father was asking him, look at the mercy of God. He just wanted to see, are you willing to trust me? And God had that ram in the bush. He did not make that man kill his son. God is not making you kill people and get rid of people to the degree that you may be thinking and talking about. No, trust me, God is saying. Trust me. Trust me and see what I do. So he trusted God. He got the opportunity to keep the child and showed obedience to God and having God bless him. Baby, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. But with man, this may be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And that's the place the Father is calling us to today, to have confidence in him in the midst of conflict. And don't let the conflict disrupt our relationship. We are to trust God when conflict disrupts our relationship. Put it in the hands of God. If you're not, you are keeping it in your hands. You are trying to solve it, and you don't have the answer. We trust God to work. We trust God to work, and we trust him to work in his timing. We typically want a quick resolution. How well I know. We want a quick resolution, but a resolution takes two parties. We need to pray and ask God to work in the heart of the other person as well as work in our heart. We have to come to grips tension between God's timing and our timing, and trusting that his timing is better. Ooh. Thanks to God, do you hear that? His timing is perfect. And that's a difficult thing for us to swallow. Remember I said we want what we want right now. Right now. I want it now. So we make stupid decisions. Yes, and I'm calling them stupid. We make stupid decisions. We make decisions that will cause messes in a whole lot of people's lives because we want what we want right now. Where is our trust in God? Where is our trust in God? Baby, would you bring us home with this last piece, please?
Yes, ma'am. And so we also have to make sure that we remain confident in God's provisions. So, when God makes a provision, don't go mess it up. Continue to stay faithful to God and everything that he has done in your life. If we look back at Lot and the decision that he made, he made a poor decision. He thought he may have been getting a better land, but his decision had moved him away from Abraham, his uncle, whom God had obviously blessed. And so he moved away from his uncle into a place of compromise. And so after he moved into a place of compromise, he started to go through this downward progression. He chose land that was outside the land promised to Abram. Then he set up his tent near Sodom. And then later we find him living in Sodom. And then finally we see him sitting in Sodom's gateway. And so that was a place where the city leaders sat.
And then he eventually moves from being connected to Abraham to being a leader in the wicked city. And so Abraham, however, he maintained his trust in God. And so God reaffirmed his promise to Abraham, and he told him to open up his eyes and look around. And so all of the land, as far as his vision could see and beyond, would be given to Abraham and his descendants. So God had reminded him of his promise, his unchanging, immutable promise. And so, we have to just make sure that the provisions that God has provided us, that we are maintaining them well, that we are not taking it for granted, that in our minds we won't, say, well, I messed this up, but if God did it once, he'll do it again. Just not being a good steward over what God has given to us. We have to be a good steward over what God has given to us, because then that determines whether he wants to give us more. So just make sure that you're not taking what God has given you for granted. It's best that you maintain what it is that God has for us. And so when we approach conflict in a godly way, the reconciliation and forgiveness are not the same thing, although we strive for both to take place. But reconciliation truly depends on the willingness of both parties to reconcile. And so we can't control reconciliation, but we can forgive. So forgiving another person can be hard, extremely hard, depending on what the person did, but it is the most healing thing to do. It takes two, but we can still forgive regardless of how the other person responds. So forgive and trust God to work in the hearts of others. Trust that God will break through the walls, and trust that the Holy Spirit will convict us as we do our part to forgive and help manage the tension.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Wow. All righty. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, beloved, here we dealt with today confidence in the midst of conflict. And that confidence, praise be unto God, is the confidence in Christ Jesus, who we must put our trust in. And we'll do another lesson on next week. We'll deal with confidence in the seasons of uncertainty. In the seasons of uncertainty, we'll look at how do we have confidence during those times. Beloved, I do thank you so much for y'all being with us today. It is truly always our pleasure to be with you here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I pray that you learn something today that will make your day a better day, and may you be blessed so that you can be a blessing to someone else. Remember, know that I love you with all my heart, but no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. Goodbye, Minister Tabika. Take care, my love, and have a blessed day.
You too as well. God bless.
God bless. God bless everyone.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.